Hello, this is Jay Aston from Jay Aston's Gene Loves Jezebel, and you're listening to Iron City Rocks.
Hey, it's Robbie from the Goo Goo Dolls, and this is IronCityRocks.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Arch from the band Everclear, and you are listening to Iron City Rocks.
Welcome to episode 573 of the Iron City Rocks podcast. I'm your host, John, coming to you from the Iron City of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, bringing the bra. Hello and welcome to episode 573 of the Iron City Rocks podcast. I'm your host, John, coming to you from the Iron City of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, bringing you the best rock, hard rock, heavy metal, and blues talk on the net. Episode 573, we have the pleasure of being joined for the first time by a member of the band Soul Asylum. David Perner will be joining us in just a moment to be talking about a show that, unfortunately, if you don't have tickets, is actually sold out. There is a waiting list, so we'll give you information on how to get on that waiting list. But this show is dubbed as Soul Asylum Acoustic, which will feature David Perner and Ryan Smith of the band doing a set of Soul Asylum classics. And also on the lineup for that night is Corey Glover. So an amazing, amazing show. This will be happening at the City Winery on Monday, April 13th. A really cool venue. It's at the terminal in Station Square. For those of you who may have seen Soul Asylum literally across the street at the Metropole, this is right in your wheelhouse to bring back some really cool 90s memories. You'll remember Soul Asylum just blew up the charts in the early part of the 1990s with Runaway Train and my personal favorite, Someone to Shove. They did a show with Keith Richards and the Expensive Winos, which David and I kind of look back on and talk. And it really, I think, an interesting conversation with what the band was smart enough to take away from that experience. So many bands, when they're out doing their first big tour, will look at a band that, you know, maybe is established, or, you know, like the Rolling Stones or Keith Richards certainly, and say, you know, those are dinosaurs. But David, you know, talks in great length here about what they were smart enough to absorb from watching him on that tour and really learn the craft. So kind of a fun conversation. So without further ado, we're going to get to David Perner of Soul Asylum. So long. And the time flies by like a vulture in the sky. Suddenly he breaks into song.
Waiting by the phone, waiting for you to call me
Pleasure to welcome to the show from Soul Asylum. We have David Perner on the line. How you doing, David?
Hey, John. What's happening?
Everything is going great. We're finally getting into some warmer weather, and you guys are going to be heading out on the road. Looks like very soon to do a series of Soul Asylum acoustic, we'll call it, shows. You and Ryan as a duo. So can you talk just a little bit about, you know, I know you guys, you did a cruise earlier in the year, but what kind of spawned this idea to kind of go out and do just the two of you?
Well, it's something that I guess I've been doing for kind of since we put out Grave Dancers Union, which kind of stressed the acoustic guitar, that record, and then we did MTV Unplugged, and then it just kind of morphed into a thing where it was pretty fluid at some point between the electric or the acoustic, and it kind of got into a whole, I don't know what, a method or an aesthetic or something, where I was just like, well, if a song works acoustic, it's going to work electric. And it's not always vice versa, but some songs work acoustic that you wouldn't expect. And the Somebody to Shove was the song that we just figured that is the last thing that would work acoustically, and it does. So nowadays it's kind of like there's nothing that really scares me, and you know, some things just don't work, but it's often a pleasant surprise when it just there's a song on the new record called High Road, which is a very electric kind of a song, and we started playing it acoustically, and it works. So you get this different kind of a I don't know. It sounds. I don't know. You get a different interpretation, but I think that's sort of the challenge of it, and something that I've been doing for as long as I can remember. Now I used to do it with Dan Murphy, and now I do it with Ryan. And for this tour, we're going to bring our bass player along for some of the gigs too, and that's really cool once we get the three-part harmonies going and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of a challenge, but
yeah, I mean, the acoustic guitar has always been pretty prevalent in your songs. And it was funny that you were talking about, you know, songs that may not work. I was thinking of Somebody to Shove, because it was, you know, I think back to, that was my introduction to your band, was that song. And you know, it's kind of coming out as a metalhead. It was a very approachable song. But then I have heard you guys do it acoustically, and I'm like, it really does work. And I don't want to say it's a surprise, because it's a great song. And at the end of the day, that's really, I think, what what matters is it's a great song, and it translates. Do you arrange these songs differently? Like, for someone who maybe hasn't seen you guys or never saw the MTV Unplugged or didn't get the record store release, record store day release of that, do you guys perform these differently, or is it essentially the same kind of, you know, chords and things like that that you would do, or do you kind of monkey around with you know, the ebb and flow of the songs themselves?
Not really. I mean, they're the sort of the aesthetic is very punk rock in a way that there's not a lot of meandering around, and that kind of works. I was just talking about Buddy Holly the other day, and I just the simplicity of some of his songs and the way that he gets in and gets out and gets his point across is pretty fantastic. But I mean, it's like the things that will change are long vamps at the end of the song, or how we do the introduction, or maybe we still keep the solos in there, but I mean, that those things might change a little bit because you know, ripping a lead on an acoustic guitar is not always as successful as it is on the electric or something to that effect.
I hear that, David. I hear that. That's a whole different skill set that I never got. You know, I can noodle through on an electric, but you take all the gimmicks away and it's a little tougher. Do you get to do some storytelling in this, or I haven't had an opportunity to catch you guys acoustically, but do you get to kind of sit down and have that kind of, you know, for those of us old enough to remember the Unplugged sort of experience where there's a little bit of, dare I say, VH1 storyteller in there?
Well, to my recollection, it was VH1 that had a show called Storytellers. And I have sort of a, I wouldn't even call it a love-hate relationship. I mean, I can listen to people talk about music all day long. At the same time, if somebody starts to introduce a song and they talk about that song for 10 minutes and it's a 3-minute song, something happens to me where I'm just like, just play the song, please, because now you're kind of over-explaining it to me. But I mean, it kind of, you know, it depends. But again, back to the punk rock aesthetic, the set has always been to sort of fire songs off before people get distracted or people start talking.
Yeah.
And that's in an acoustic setting. That's a factor. I mean, there's been times where there's, oh, I don't know, someone in the crowd has had a few and is talking very loudly, and I can hear it over my own voice when we're doing acoustic stuff, and it's a little maddening. So there has been times where, you know, I'll just stop the song and the whole room is listening to some guy go, bah, 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 and I'm just standing there. And then he realizes that nothing's happening. And now
the entire room is watching you.
I'm real smart ass, like, are you done? Because I'm kind of trying to sing a song over here. You know, that type of thing. So I have to handle it with humor. Otherwise, humor and a little humiliation. But otherwise, if you're like, shut up, I can't do my job up here because you people need to stop talking, it gets kind of aggressive and not fun or something.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, it's a fine line, but the
humor is probably the best way to handle that.
Rock band solves that problem. What's that?
Yeah, being the humor is probably a good way to solve that so you don't get a reputation, but I certainly feel for, I was in a show on Saturday night and the person behind me, I don't know if they paid for tickets or just didn't care about the artist because they did not shut up the entire show. And you know, as a fan, it's distracting. I can't imagine trying to sing while that's going on. You know, especially in the, like the City Winery is an intimate venue. You know, it's not like, you know, cavernous hall where you can kind of drown out noise. So it's I can't imagine trying to keep the concentration.
Yeah. So it's just one more thing that makes intimacy more of a challenge in a way that is not always great.
Yeah. I was looking back at
a few months of lamps, so that'll shut people up, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. You could kick drum and some Marshalls and maybe an Ampeg to really shut them up.
It
would work perfectly. Looking back at kind of your band's history with Pittsburgh, I kind of looked back earlier today at sort of how you guys came in. And as far as I can see, your first show in Pittsburgh was actually in support of Keith Richards' Expensive Winos. Can you talk just a little bit about what that experience was like? I mean, because you guys, this was pre, you know, the album blowing up. You know, you guys weren't necessarily household names at the time. So was that experience daunting working, you know, with Keith, or did you even get to see Keith in that tour?
That experience was fantastic, which is just a stupid word I've been saying lately. Fantastic. I don't know why, but I'm not even going to tell you what yesterday's word of the day was. actually, I am. The word was Genesis. I started saying it to this guy that was interviewing me, and I just, once I said it twice, I started trying to fit it into sentences, and then he goes, "Are you a fan?" And I'm like, "Oh, I'm not talking about the band Genesis, dude. I'm just using the word. I'm overusing the word." But the Keith Richards tour was some kind of special. It was, I think, the only tour I've ever been on where I watched the band we were opening for play every night. And it's a little full circle because we just made our new record with Steve Jordan. And we had made the record, The Horse They Rode In On, with Steve Jordan. And that was the connection. And, I mean, as far as I know, Steve suggested us to keep people, and it worked out. It worked out great because I end up often opening for bands I just don't listen to, you know?
Yeah.
And, just his whole demeanor was meaningful to me because he's just kind of he's going to have fun, and he's going to say things like it never gets easier and it never gets less strange. And he's so comfortable in that environment that he turns out to be, oddly enough, a great example. You know?
Yeah.
Just as far as like, you know, I'm gonna have a good time, and I'm gonna keep the show on the road, and not be a dick, you know. And so his band is great, and you're watching a Rolling Stone play with some of the greatest, in my opinion, rock and roll kind of people. That when I met Steve, and then people like Charlie Drayton, and then started playing with people like Sterling Campbell. And, you know, I really found another side to rock music that wasn't coming out of the punk rock thing, but had a really very particular, not particular, but just felt great. In a way where the song, the music is served with a real groove that isn't you know, so relentlessly pounding, know, little space in there, and a little something to get you moving. That was a great tour. As far as going out and opening for another band, I don't think we'll ever surpass that. Just as far as watching the masters, you know, and kind of going, that's how you fucking do it, you know.
I think the great takeaway from there, as I'm listening to you talk about it, was obviously that you guys learned, you know, it's kind of like an internship in, you know, to put it in like regular work terms, you know, to go out, like I said, I think some bands, you know, especially coming from, you know, the time, your age, the punk rock, a lot of bands might look at that and go, you know, this is a dinosaur, you know, fuck that, I'm not going to do that. You know, we're going to do our own thing, you know, and there were plenty of bands that did that kind of thing in that era, that burnt out, you know, didn't make a career out of. You guys obviously picked up something along the way, and it was good to have a chance to go out on the road and learn some of that stuff before things kind of exploded, because I mean later that same year you're playing 20,000 seat sheds, you know, at least here in Pittsburgh, you know, you went from club to club to giant venue really, really fast.
That part of it was very strange. At some point in the middle of the tour, we realized that we were outselling Keith Richards, and that just felt weird, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, maybe not sustainable, in fairness to every band in the world, but it's still a cool feeling for any moment in time, I'm sure. And you know, I think you guys have had a really kind of a cool career, and it's cool to see a band, you know, from a city similar to Pittsburgh in Minnesota, you know, you guys have had a nice career out of it. When Prince covered,
I really do.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's similar enough. I mean,
the way that Pittsburgh feels to me is great, and the way it looks to me is great. And for some reason, going to the Warhol Museum made it all come together for me. And I could live in Pittsburgh. It's a very cool kind of place to me. It's like, maybe I haven't spent enough time there, but before I started spending time there, I wouldn't have guessed that it has a vibe that I really like.
It's certainly the kind of town I could see a band like yours coming from. You know, I think that's some of the similarities there. And I don't know if you remember the venue when you guys played with the Goo Goo Dolls back again. This was kind of in that same year where everything kind of exploded. But you played a club with the Goo Goo Dolls here in Pittsburgh. The place where you're playing in April is actually directly across the street. So it's going to be kind of a neat moment to see the other side of the road.
If I'm not mistaken, and I could be, but the reason why I knew about this, I knew what this place was about, because I think we played at this place before, or very close. Was because when I was a kid, I collected beer cans. And somebody said Iron City. I was like, you mean like, and I had a beer can with the Pittsburgh Steelers, a picture of the Pittsburgh Steelers on the can when they won the Super Bowl, and that was like the coolest can in my collection, which is kind of a weird way to see something on a, like, where are we playing on this tour? And like, oh shit, I knew about that when I was nine. You can collect it's like, how does that make sense? But yeah.
If you've got an Iron City beer can in your collection, I think there's got to be some Pittsburgh DNA in you. I think every basement in Western Pennsylvania has that same can, with or without the original beer in it at this point. But
the first hockey game I went to was the Minnesota North Stars against the Pittsburgh Steelers. There's another one for you.
Ooh.
I was very young.
Depending on what game that was, it might be a touchy thing.
I meant Penguins, and I don't know if I just said Penguins, but I thought that that was an awesome concept, the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah.
I liked the jerseys and went on to an illustrious failed career as a hockey player.
No, awesome stuff. Well, David, I want to thank you so much again. You're in town. The show as of right now is to the point of there is a waiting list, technically sold out. So if you're considering at all going to the show, waiting list is your only option at this point. So it's going to be a nice packed house for you. Hopefully people are respectful when you're on stage. And if you need to call some people, don't hesitate. Just call them a jag off. Pause the show, call the person a jag off, and move on. They'll know what you mean.
Yeah, okay. All right. Thank you. That's a very helpful tip.
All right, again, David Perner and Ryan Smith, Soul Asylum Acoustic with special guest Corey Glover. Just soak that up for a minute. If you're a fan of music in the early 90s, that's an incredible double bill there. This will be the City Winery, which is an incredibly intimate venue. You can get on the waiting list for tickets. We will have a link at ironcityrocks.com. You can also head over to citywinery.com, and if you go to the Pittsburgh location, you can get on the waiting list for cancellations. This is a 7:30 show. So many hits, so it'd be a fascinating night. And also a reminder that you can now get your hands on their MTV Unplugged performance on vinyl as well. So I want to thank David so much for taking the time to join us. I want to thank you for listening. IronCityRocks.com, all the social medias are IronCityRocks.com. You can always drop us email, IronCityRocks@gmail.com, if you want to get in touch. Let us know what you think of the show. And until next time, thank you so much for listening.